Welcome back to Trigger. This is episode 587, Wednesday, December 17th. Oh my goodness, it's almost Christmas time already. I'm here with Matt Vespa. What's going on, man? You ready for Christmas coming up?
Happy Kwanzaa. I celebrate Kwanzaa.
Oh, of course you do.
I'm ready for Christmas, man. I can't believe it's fucking Christmas. Oh my God, where is this year gone?
It's wild. I remember when I was in elementary school, we had this like really weird music teacher. And we had to sing this song. It was like Kwanzaa, Kwanzaa. And I'm like, I grew up in like the whitest white neighborhood in Northwest New Jersey. And we're all looking around like, what the hell is Kwanzaa? But nah, she was really shoving it down our throats, even in the early 90s.
It's a fake ass holiday. I remember, what's it called? But it's infamous now. Andrew Cuomo's old squeeze. Was it Sandra D? She was on Food Network. She made the Kwanzaa cake. And I mean, this is like 06, 07. If she did that today, she would have been assassinated.
Well, I think it was on the campaign trail or 2 years ago. Kamala Harris, she was celebrating Kwanzaa. Well, anyway, happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Merry Christmas.
And
happy Festivus. But what I'm celebrating today is the new plaques that went outside the Rose Garden at the, what does he call that? The Presidential Wall of
Wall
Honor?
Of fame. Wall of butter. Wall of fame.
Wall of fame. Okay. I'm sorry. I mispronounced.
It's going to be there for 6 to 8 years. So, you know, you guys just get used to reading it.
Why just 8 years?
12. Maybe forever. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It should be there forever. So, as you know, those pictures of Joe Biden, the auto pen portrait, and all the presidents lined up behind him. There was a new addition added today. We'll start with under Joe Biden's picture. When I say picture, the picture of the auto pen. The plaque says this. Sleep, and this is in the same exact like gold font, very professional looking. Plastered right in the wall underneath this photo. Sleepy Joe Biden was by far the worst president of American history, taking office as a result of the most corrupt election ever since seen in the United States. Biden oversaw a series of unprecedented disasters that brought our nation to the brink of destruction. So he's going really, really hard. He goes on and on. Biden let 21 million people from all over the world get into the United States, including from prisons, jails, mental institutions. This sounds like a Trump rally. A lot of his same lines. Nicknamed both Sleepy and Crooked, Joe Biden was dominated by his radical left handlers. And he goes on about the auto pen. So an excellent troll job. This will be there, like you said, Vespa, forever, right?
Yes.
Well, if a Democrat ever takes the White House again, God forbid, because
that's never going to happen because he's not leaving.
So. Right. But just hypothetically saying, if a Democrat ever comes in and they try to remove these plaques, you assume the Democrats will sue the next Democrat president for altering the White House. You know, they're freaking out about
how dare they? Yeah. It's the people's house. How dare they?
Which, by the way, a judge struck down today, actually saying that, yes, Donald Trump does have the authority to renovate the White House. The most stupidest thing ever. There's no pain and suffering that the Americans are going under because Donald Trump decides to do a little renovating. Bill Clinton had his own plaque, addition to his plaque. Underneath his picture, it says, Bill Clinton served as Attorney General and Governor of Arkansas before winning the presidency in what was called a major upset over George H.W. Bush. As president, Clinton signed crime and welfare legislation, blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's get into the fun part. He approved NAFTA, which President Donald Trump would later terminate as being bad for the United States. Welcomed China into the WTO and oversaw NATO's military intervention in Bosnia and Kosovo. He says he benefited from the tech boom, had nothing to do with his policies. But Vespa, wasn't there something missing in this plaque? Like, why didn't we hear about
Monica?
Exactly. Monica?
And where's Vince Foster and all and how his wife like killed all these people, allegedly?
Exactly.
Allegedly.
And Hillary Clinton being guilty of killing Jeffrey Epstein and
got sucked off by Monica. Her dress was ruined.
Yep, that Cincinnati gorilla, Harambe, I'm pretty sure Hillary killed him too.
Yeah.
This should have been included. It's very important on this plaque. Obama got his own. For some reason, it didn't say that he ended up killing the chef in Martha's Vineyard who was paddleboarding. I don't know. It was very strange. A couple of details left out. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So
All
that's
these Democrat chefs keep dying.
the
They just die, man. It's like the kiss of death. Like, you're gonna be the personal chef to Bill Clinton. Well, you might as well get your arrangements in order.
Yeah. Well, this will be actually a pretty dark transition. Speaking of death, Rob Reiner died.
Oh,
He,
that's I
well,
don't know.
he actually didn't die.
He
He
didn't
was
die,
killed.
man. He got chopped the fuck. He got hacked the fuck up is what happened. He got murdered. It was terrible.
It is terrible. His crazy son, Nick Reiner, who's apparently a drug addict, ended up killing Rob and his wife in their sleep, slitted their throats, and it was absolutely horrendous. And I don't know, Vespa, what was your instinct when you read this news?
It's sad. I do like a lot of Rob Reiner's films. That being said, I know everyone was getting on Trump for his Truth Social post about the death of Mr. Reiner. Who, by the way, is
We're
excellent
getting to.
in Wolf of Wall Street. All in the Family too.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
No,
Oh yeah.
but
Nice.
Vespa, you're gonna think so much less of me, no matter how low you think of me already. No, I'm
Oh
kidding. But
God.
I actually had to Google who Rob Reiner was because I forgot.
Oh my
I really
Anyway,
did.
we'll move on.
And then I remembered, I saw, I was like, oh, he's the anti-Trump guy. Like,
Yeah,
I
that's
have
the
no
thing,
idea what
though.
movies he did or
Yeah,
what he
no,
was.
he's
I'm pop culture
very
really
loud.
challenged. I have no
Yeah,
idea. But anyway,
he's
he
very
died.
loud.
And go on. Your reaction was, oh, it's kind of a shame that he's.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame, but at the same time, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Trump is not that person, and you know what? Everyone is like, and he went too far, this, that, and the other. I mean, the Truth Social post is like a fucking atom bomb.
Yeah, I'll read it real quick. To give context, after Rob Reiner died, the very next day, and again, he didn't die, he was killed viciously. He said, a very sad thing happened last night in Hollywood. Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling, but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away, together with his wife, Michelle, reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, sometimes known as TDS. He was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession of Donald Trump, with his obnoxious paranoia reaching new heights as the Trump administration surpassed all goals and expectations of greatness, and with the golden age of America upon us, perhaps like never before. May Rob and Michelle rest in peace. So he took a death and he made it about himself. And I'm not going to excuse the president for doing this. It's not my responsibility, first of all, to comment at all about this. The left is demanding everyone to condemn it and this, that, and the other. But after the way they treated everybody for dying, obviously, Charlie Kirk, we saw some of the most heinous reactions, even from members of Congress who just, Ilhan Omar, said he was a hateful bigot, all that kind of stuff. We need to pull back our urge to condemn those who are murdered, like instantly. I think the most appropriate response by Donald Trump and anybody would be like, no comment at all. So you didn't like him. Great. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I
he could
wish.
have said something along the lines of, this is a terrible incident, and thoughts and prayers with the Reiner family. Something short and sweet, two lines, didn't have to be crazy,
And
but
that's it.
that was now at the same time I will play devil's advocate here. When someone calls you a Nazi for years and they die, I'm probably not going to feel bad about them dying.
No. And you have
So.
every right to not feel bad about that, just like Donald Trump has every right to not feel bad about it. But who benefits from this Truth Social? Maybe Trump feels a little, I don't know, better about himself pissing on his grave. Like maybe he got something off his chest. But we're in the game of politics right now. This doesn't help him as a president, his party trying to win the midterms. It helps literally nothing other than his ego. And Rob Reiner, he could have been a terrible person. I don't actually know, but it benefits nobody to piss on his grave. And I was a little frustrated by Donald Trump by doing that. And that's my only frustration. What you said, like whatever, you may feel that way, but you have the ability to. And maybe Donald Trump doesn't, but we have the ability to not say things. And I think he
It
did
kind of
himself a
muddied the
real
news
favor.
coverage. It kind of muddied the news coverage of the Bondi beach attack.
Yeah.
And also the Brown University shooting that happened over the weekend at the same
Yeah, if we're
time.
talking
Actually,
strictly.
dude, last weekend was very dark. We had a terror attack, we had a shooting at Brown, and we had the Reiner murders. And it's just that the Brown University shooting is another circus in itself.
You've been covering this pretty
Oh my
in
God,
detail.
there's a
What
perfect.
are the biggest screw-ups in your mind so far?
Oh, the one the bit. Biggest screw. Well, the biggest one big screw up was that they posted where all the fucking cameras on campus were. And of course, the shooter goes to the building where there's no fucking cameras, like a dead zone. So there's that. There is the the detention of a person of interest, who was held for hours and then released the same day. How did the shooter get into the building? We don't know. The inability to confirm what was yelled before the suspect opened fire. What else is
And
there?
they knew what he yelled. All
Oh,
the
they really,
reports and all the witnesses
Allahu
saying,
Akbar
yeah,
is what
Allahu
was it?
Akbar.
There's too many people that are confirming
To
this.
say
So
that he said something. What does he say? I hate physics, or we just won
yeah.
our intramural softball game. Like, no, if you're yelling something.
Crisis management 101, you do not go in front of the cameras if you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And 6 hours later, it was a simple question. What were the students doing inside the engineering building? Which was typical. I mean, it's December, guys. I mean, study halls, exam prep, studying. I mean, come on.
That schedule is known.
It's a simple fucking answer. And Christina Paxson, the university president, said, I don't know. And you hear the reporters being like, it's been 6 hours. You don't know? That's very disconcerting. And then you have the mayor saying that he's tired. He complained about being tired. It's been 49 hours. This that you should be fucking tired. There's an armed man out there and on the loose, and he's a threat to the general public.
And they're
And then
telling people that he's safe.
they tried to have the narrative that with the shooter on the loose, there's a shooter on the loose, but the general public is safe. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Now they bring in the attorney general into the mix, because this already isn't disastrous enough, and he's even just as bad. There is a person, a student assistant who we won't name. I did name him in the post this morning, but like we don't need to fan the flames here because he's not a suspect. He's not. But they're scrubbing his entire existence off the website for some reason,
Right.
and when he was asked about that, he got huffy again. You're playing a dangerous game here. How dare you ask me this question?
Yeah.
Well, guess what, people? This is how conspiracy theories are born. And it's just it's one catastrophe after another. They just need to stop with the pressers, because it gets bad. It gets worse every single time.
Yeah.
We don't know who this person is, and I don't think we ever will. Now we have a second person of interest, and I'm pretty sure they're gonna cock that up.
Yeah.
It's I have I, it's also, I mean, speaking about pressers, man, even the LAPD presser for the Reiner killings was an absolute catastrophe.
Yeah.
When you have liberals saying that, it's bad. They wouldn't confirm who was inside the Brentwood home. We know who was inside the home. The Reiner family confirmed it an hour before the fucking presser. Gavin Newsom tweeted about their passing and offering condolences. And to say this silly game of we're not going to confirm or deny this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
The
It
coroner was, and also the coroner wasn't summoned after like 7 hours, which I think is just I don't know what is going on.
it's
But
bizarre. Everyone's so hesitant to release information that they know, but it's probably they know the information and they're worried about Islamophobia, and like that's obviously why they're holding things back. Like, what did he shout? We can't tell you that. And now Brown, as you were mentioned, with this person's information being removed from the internet. They put out a statement, Brown, saying that people are doxing this member of Brown's community. That's why they're removing all this kind of stuff. And
yeah,
what happened to see something say something? Like, it's not doxing. It's like, this guy might fit the bill, and I'm worried about this, right?
Also, the alarm system didn't go off. Remember that? That was another weird thing. It's active shooter dependent. What the fuck is what the fuck does that even mean?
Let me play you this quick audio here from CNN. The Brown University president, Christina Paxton, said that the alarm system, it's not a system that we would ever use in a case of an active shooter, which leads the follow-up question, well, why the hell not?
You're hearing a lot of questions about the lack of cameras. You mentioned you heard some of the criticism. What is your response to parents as well who said they pay a lot of money for their kids to go to Brown? They're questioning the cameras, why the sirens didn't go off. Do you believe that Brown had the precautions and safety measures in place before the shooting that were appropriate and necessary?
I do. And in fact, I'm glad you mentioned the sirens because I think there's been some misinformation about that. We have two security systems that we can activate in a time of an emergency. One is a system that sends out text messages, phone calls, emails, and it was activated within minutes of the incident. Those messages went out to 20,000 individuals, so all alerts. We also have a system of sirens. There are three sirens placed across campus. Those get activated when there is a broad-scale emergency and we want people to rush into buildings. In the case of an active shooter, activating that system could have caused people to rush into Barrison Hall. So that's not a system that we would ever use in the case of an active shooter.
Well, hold on a second right there, and I apologize for the longevity of that
Oh,
tweet.
but it was a train wreck.
Yeah, an absolute train wreck. But so she says that's not something we would use for an active shooter. But if you go to Brown's website, straight from Brown's website, they list when they would use this siren, and on it it says examples of emergencies where Brown's siren would likely be activated include hostile intruder. Act slash active shooter, large chemical release near campus, natural disaster. So in that hostile intruder, which is an active shooter, so she doesn't even know what the hell her own website says. So what a botched everything. And as you said, there are victims right now who don't have any justice and they're fumbling this. The poor victims, Ella Cook, she was the vice president of the college Republicans on campus, and a guy named Muhammad Aziz Amirzakov, a sophomore at Brown.
Oh,
And
yeah, I couldn't even pronounce that name, but
yeah,
yeah.
well, I don't know if I
He's
did
from
correctly.
is it Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan? I remember the embassy offered condolences.
Yeah, it was a stan. I'm not sure
Yeah.
which one, but it was a stan.
That's
So yeah, I mean, it's just awful, and these people deserve justice. So let's switch in topics a little bit.
Yeah.
So Susie Wiles, she does an interview with Vanity Fair, and it was approved, yes, because there's pictures of the whole, cabinet taking a really badass picture. They look like they're members of the Sopranos or something like that. But
Succession.
Susie Wiles does an interview, a very long interview, and what should we have expected? Well, they're going to take everything completely out of context. One of the big summary here, as Vanity Fair tweeted it and all the reporters are grabbing at, I'll read it to you here. This is what they've concluded from this interview. Over the course of 11 interviews, Ms. Wiles offered pungent assessments of the president and his team. Mr. Trump has an alcoholic's personality. J.D. Vance has been a conspiracy theorist for a decade. And his conversation or conversion from Trump critic to ally was based not on principle, but sort of political because he was running for Senate. Elon Musk is a vowed ketamine user, an odd duck. And Russ Vought is a right-wing absolute zealot, which I think is great. She also says that Attorney General Pam Bondi completely whiffed in handling the Epstein files. Also probably true. But
Absolutely true.
why is she speaking with vanity? Don't Republicans know by now? You're not going to get a fair shake. I know a lot of these things were taken out of context, and Susie Wiles explained herself some on Twitter. I mean, for example, Trump has an alcoholic's personality. Yeah, that is true because he's addicted to winning. He's an intense guy. He's if someone has alcohol and they're an alcoholic, they start getting super intense. We all know that Donald Trump doesn't drink alcohol, so he's not calling her and him an alcoholic, but
But
of
she
course
did
they
grow up
didn't
with an
take that
alcoholic father,
out. Go ahead, say that one more time.
She did grow up with an alcoholic father, Pat Summerall, late great Pat Summerall, and you know that's how she's been able to really guide and really captain the ship well. I think they expected a hatch job. Again, it was all approved. Everyone was okay with it. I think it just gave us another shining example of how the media cannot cover this administration accurately. So Trump got his another scalp in destroying the media. That's why he'll always attack him. Remember when his first president said, why do you always say that about us? Well, because every time I do, you lose credibility. And I like that a lot, you know.
All right,
So
that's a good
yeah.
angle
But
for
now
me.
at the same time, it's gonna cause a little heartburn. But even everybody that she cooked in that interview circled the wagons around her. Russ Vogt probably loved that about him, let's be honest. Tuesday night, reportedly Trump and Wiles met, and the president's unfazed by this. She's not going anywhere. And if anything, the story from this story is how much power she wields in that building. Now, she already does by the title. I mean, the White House Chief of Staff is arguably the second most powerful person in the world, but they're not all different. They're not all equal. See John Kelly. But she is not going to go anywhere. I know there's some rumblings that there could be a significant shakeup come next year. Now, that's typical, right? It's been what? Typically around this time is when people start looking past public life and going into the private sector or leaving altogether.
There's rumors Bonsall
But
might be the first to do it. Bonsall.
yeah, right? Yeah, I know he's been supposedly been quietly saying that in the J. Edgar Hoover building. But, when she leaves, it'll be on her own accord. It won't be because of Vanity Fair.
Yeah, totally. And Trump has her back too.
Yeah,
He
Trump
did.
loves her. I mean, Trump absolutely loves her. So she can probably say whatever she wants, even if it's really bad about him. And he'd be like, hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. He sees
She's
the big
great.
picture, you know? He sees the big picture. So,
Well, she,
you know,
he's
everybody wins a little. You know, the Vanity Fair gets the talk, gets access, which is the life's blood of that reporter, especially in that magazine. They get an interview with a very powerful Trump official, and then we get to bash them for being trash at their jobs. And guess what? Everybody stays. So it's not like anyone, they get no scalps. So
totally. Susie went.
I think in that situation, we fucking win. So.
No, I agree. And Trump spoke to Stephen Nelson of the New York Post, and he was asked about that alcoholic comment, and he said, "No, she meant that you see, I don't drink alcohol, so everybody knows that. But I've often said that if I did, I'd have a very good chance of being an alcoholic. I said that many times about myself. I do. It's a very possessive personality." That's how he explained what she said.
Yeah, and
And
his brother
Susie.
Fred, his brother, it runs in the family. His brother Fred,
Died of alcoholism. And
yeah.
what you said earlier, Susie also said to the New York Post, high functioning alcoholics or alcoholics in general, their personalities are exaggerated when they drink.
Yeah.
I've always, not to make this about myself, but when I was the mascot for the Washington Nationals, I always said that Screech, his personality was drunk Corey. You know, he just exaggerates everything. He's a little bit crazy, dances all over the place. You get a little bit crazier, obviously, when you drink. But JD Vance was speaking yesterday. He did a little rally. Where was he? In North Carolina, right? I think he was in North Carolina.
I believe so.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. I thought that
No, but he decided to cut the
Susie,
Vance hair from the stump.
sorry, I stepped over you a little bit there, but here's how he responded to the fact that Susie Wiles called him a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, if Susie, as I like, I'll trust what you said. I haven't looked at the article. I of course have heard about it, but conspiracy theorist. Sometimes I am a conspiracy theorist, but I only believe in the conspiracy theories that are true. And by the way, Susie and I have joked in private and in public about that for a long time. For example, I believed in the crazy conspiracy theory back in 2020 that it was stupid to mask 3-year-olds at the height of the COVID pandemic, that we should actually let them develop some language.
Anyway, the audio is pretty long. He goes on to say, I believe in this crazy conspiracy that the media and the government were covering up Joe Biden's cognitive decline. He said, I believe in conspiracy theory that Joe Biden was trying to throw his political opponents in jail rather than win the argument. And he also said, I believe in the conspiracy theory. It turns out that the conspiracy is just something that was true 6 months ago before the media admitted it. So, yeah, conspiracy theorists are batting about, what, 6 for 7? Something like that. 6-7 with all the kids.
6-7. Oh, my God. Stop it. Stop it.
No, I don't even like it either. Not a conspiracy theory is that Pete Hegseth is blowing up narco terrorists from Venezuela coming into our country. And some leftists, rhinos in the Senate, and certainly every Democrat in the Senate wants him to explain for it, because they don't have, they seem to have issues with America blowing up terrorists, with people who are coming into the country. But Hegseth, they did a briefing yesterday with all the senators. Schumer said he was, it was stomach churning seeing the video of the September 2nd boat attack where, you know, two survivors ended up being killed with a second shot, you know, because if you survive an attack, you usually, you know, kill them as quickly as you can afterwards. Doesn't seem to be a problem with me. Meanwhile, Fetterman and Vespa, you wrote about this yesterday. He said he was satisfied that the military is striking actual drug boats. And the meeting with Hegseth was actually pretty successful. Here he is on Chris Cuomo last night.
What did you learn, Senator, that gave you any comfort that we're not heading into some kind of extended military exercise around Venezuela or in Venezuela?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was pretty pretty comprehensive. And this idea, some things out in the media, it's kind of putting out this that the military is just picking off, you know, any boat that comes across. That's just not true. I mean, there's extensive intelligence, and they know exactly who's on that boat, and they know what's actually on that boat right now. And it's quite frequently they decline to take it and to move on those things. When they move on those kinetic kinds of strikes, you know, they have absolute confidence that who's on it and what's on it, and that's exactly what it's about.
So leftist talking point is shattered just by that. I mean,
under 60 seconds.
Yeah. pretty well said. So I don't know. Pete Hegseth, they've been trying to put his feet to the fire, but he seems pretty immune to all of this, because the bottom line is that Americans support killing terrorists. So
I mean, this is no big deal. I just can't believe that they're treating it like the May Lai massacre. but I mean, here we are. I mean, it's not unheard of. I mean, I think what's his name? Tim Kaine was like, these were struggling survivors. They're fishermen. There's been a whole, you know, run of the, you know, whole.
They're only transport
merry-go-round of you know, references to describe these narco terrorists.
It's like Maryland, man. They're trying to make guys into good guys.
Schumer was like, my stomach was sickened by this. I'm like, dude, it's like you're looking at like satellite images. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Exactly. Black and white. You
can't even see what the hell's going on. So they're blowing up the boats. They're going to continue to blow up the boats.
So an update today to this story is that the Senate just passed about an hour ago the NDAA, which will now head to the president's desk. It passed 77-20. Lots of Republicans, lots of Democrats voted for this. What it does, it codifies more than a dozen of President Trump's executive orders. There's good and bad in this. It prohibits diversity, equity, and inclusion programs from the Department of War. It authorizes the use of active duty troops along the U.S.-Mexican border, deploying Golden Dome missile defense shield, a lot of this. What it does do, which is kind of which one is awful, it does have an authorization for $400 million in military assistance to Ukraine. I thought we were done with this bullshit, like not one. And on the stranger note, which you and I talked about earlier before we recorded, on a weirder note, it withholds part of Secretary of War's travel budget, so he can't travel to some places, and he must turn over footage of all boat strikes near Venezuela. Kind of strange. I mean, I don't think this should be a deal breaker. It seems like a lot of good, some bad. That's what you do when you negotiate. But
they're trying to screw with Operation Southern Spear, though. That's what pisses me off about it. But at the same time, I think Trump looked, and when I was at the White House last week, he did mention the NDAA being on the docket in the Senate, and he did not seem upset about it. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I think he wanted it passed. I think he was like, I look, you know, he was very looking forward to signing it. So
yeah,
I think he looked at it, weighed his options, and was like, you know what? There's more good than bad in here. So if we have to turn over footage of us blowing up terrorists, which we have nothing to hide, and right. it's always a easy layup in the PR war,
yeah,
then so be it. And so be it. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it could be another one of those you draw in the libs, right? You draw them in, get them all riled up about, you know, these terrible airstrikes, and then you release all the footage, and it's like, okay, we're blowing up bad people.
Yeah, exactly. It's another winning issue. We'll leave with one more story of the day.
Sure.
Speaking of bad people, there's this woman in California, Michaela, I think that's how you pronounce her name. Her last name is Ponce. She was berating a patriot who was an employee of Target. I'm going to play some audio. It's got some bad language, but I promise you there's a happy ending at the end of it, and we'll discuss. So this woman is going up to this elderly woman. She's got gray hair, short. She's working hard. She's working in Target. This is your blue collar employee who just wants to, you know, put food on their family's plate. And she's wearing a Freedom shirt, a Charlie Kirk signature Freedom shirt. And this is how some bitch of a customer approaches her and has this to say.
Why? They let you wear that shirt here?
Yes. Why? So, why are you taking my picture?
Why are you wearing that shirt? You're working. It's not a
red
shirt.
I can wear any red shirt.
It's not a plain shirt.
It doesn't have to be.
It's a Charlie Kirk shirt.
Yes. Oh, yes, I know.
Are you fucking stupid?
No.
Why the fuck would you wear that? You're at work at Target. That's not a Target shirt. It's not a plain red shirt. You support a racist.
It's not racist.
You support a racist.
He's not a racist.
Yes, he is. Yes, he fucking is.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with
you. You're not. You should go get your manager. You should not be allowed to wear that at work.
So she ends up ending this conversation nicely. The employee, that is. She said, have a nice day, and she walked away. And the woman who recorded this video, who was cursing at her, uploaded this to TikTok, thinking this would make her look good. Well, it turns out...
malignant cunt.
Exactly. Well, it turns out that conservative TikTok and Twitter and all this started sharing this video, and we started feeling really bad for this woman because I do. So someone started a Give Send Go, which is the less woke GoFundMe, and they've raised a lot of money for this woman to go on vacation. As of right now, patriots like you and I and anyone listening to this right now have raised $142,246 for this poor woman to go on vacation. So I'm so proud of us. Way to go. Get a vacation. And it turns out the woman, the bitch who was berating her, is in trouble with her employer as well, because she works at Enlo Health, and they released a statement that they are investigating the conduct of their employee.
Oh, fire that bitch.
Maybe in
fire
trouble.
Her.
Fire that bitch.
Make her. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to say that. That's too far.
Regret her words. How about
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey, this is going to be our last episode for a little while until after Christmas. So we thank you.
Can you mention one more thing, Corey?
Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. Before you go into that, yes, this is the last show, but for all y'all who thought that the Mar-a-Lago ransacking was bullshit,
oh yeah,
new FBI docs and memos that showed FBI agents were telling the Biden DOJ, I don't think there's probable cause to bust down the doors of the former president's home, then the former president's home, and lo and behold, yeah, so...
They
goes back to the Biden crime family, the Biden weaponization of the DOJ, just the Biden mafia. So we'll circle back with you on that in the coming days in the new year. So I'm sure there's going to be hearings on that. So
someone in Biden's DOJ was so eager to raid Melania's draws that they just disregarded all evidence whatsoever. Yeah.
I mean, it gets back to the whole thing. You know, one last thing. Supposedly, the main target for this raid was that, remember the binder that the House investigators on the Russiagate compiled under Nunes? Basically was like all the dirty laundry from the deep state. That it, the binder's been missing since 2021. I think the supposedly, and this is from Michael Schellenberger, some folks at the Biden DOJ thought that that fucking binder was at Mar-a-Lago, yeah, and they wanted to grab it. Wow. It's not there, obviously. Remember, it's like, remember, it's the classified documents, Corey, that the National Archives and Records Administration just had to fucking have. You know, the state dinner menus that Trump took with him, and you know, cocktail napkins and you know, empty folders.
It's so ridiculous. It's beyond words.
So yeah, so that's I'm sure there's going to be hearings on that.
Yep, and we'll bring it to you. So
yeah, bring it to you. But Christmas time first, guys.
It's hard to believe. It's this has been episode 587. This has been a long-standing show. I've only joined since the last 8 or 9 months or something like that. But we are just so thankful for you tuning in, the comments we receive, the emails we receive, and it's just, we're so grateful, and it's a time to recognize how grateful we are, just being Christmas. And I just you know, thank you all, and I hope you have a great Christmas, a great whatever holiday you celebrate, even if it's Kwanzaa, a made up holiday. Enjoy the family, enjoy the friends. Vespa, take it away for now.
About what?
About Christmas. Well, you got any thanks to say too?
About Christmas. You know, I'm just thankful for, you know, my family, friends, coworkers, and being able to, you know, entertain you people with all the insanity.
Yes. Yes.
We watch CNN and the mainstream press and all the rants and ravings and summarize that so you don't have to.
Amen.
So, among many, many other things. So
We are very thankful for that.
And the loyal listeners and the VIP members, we love you all, because we couldn't do a lot here without your support. So,
yeah, thank
you. Onward to the midterms now, man. Now it's now, you know, it was fighting, and now we got to fight with bayonets and guns and grenades now. It's the midterm season. So, Indiana, get your shit together.
Yep.
Can they do that again? Can they reconvene another session to get that map done?
Maybe they can, but I don't think so. But it failed so epically, like there's no point to it. Just
every state's, you know, special session things are different. You know, I don't know India. I'm not up on that, but I couldn't fucking believe that. 21.
Yeah.
We have
at the end of the day, it's going to be basically a wash, because after Virginia and California do their shit and Texas, Florida, Ohio, and Missouri do ours, it's like we might gain two. And the winds are in our backs right now.
So Indiana really fucked us, didn't they?
They sure did. So for Santa, request some new state legislation.
Yeah, request that they nuke Indiana.
Yeah.
Actually, don't do that. We need Indiana.
Do. We just need a change. But anyway, hope you all have a great holiday. Again, this has been episode 587. If you enjoyed Trigger and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member today. You can use promo code FIGHT for 60% off your membership. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. And if you'd like to reach out, triggered@townhall.com. Thank you guys so much. Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon.
See you then.